Hello, Church of the Living God. Are you experiencing the living Christ living within you? Have you got religion, weeded out of your mind? Jesus, seated at the right hand of God. Hey, here's a challenging thought for you. If God is omniscient and knows everything according to our religion, then how come Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back? Jesus said only the Father knows the time. Here's another one for your theology. If the Trinity is such a perfect doctrine, it's not actually mentioned in the Bible really as a doctrine, then why did Jesus say that we are one with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit? Let me just count. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's the Church. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. There goes your doctrine about the Trinity. What am I saying to you today, church? I'm saying that perhaps religion has stolen the kingdom from you. Hang on a minute. I think Jesus might have actually said something about that. That's right. Jesus said to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. I wonder what that means. Well, church, that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility, church, to understand the kingdom of God. And if you read it in the Bible, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable about the kingdom, then you will not understand any other parable. He says, to those who have more will be given and they will have abundance. Have you noticed how some Christians, some ministries, they have abundance? They just have thousands being saved. They have, I'm not talking about a big church. I'm talking about fruit. I'm talking about impact. I'm talking about, writing lots of books, ministry, touching people. It seems to be expansive and unlimited. It's because they understood the word. Doesn't mean they're perfect. So Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 verse 15, be careful and watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. So Jesus referred to the kingdom as yeast. He referred to the kingdom as a way of thinking. He referred to religion as a way of thinking. He referred to religion as the teachings. So what Jesus is telling you through me today is the amount of thinking in your head that is religious will constrain the kingdom of God in you. In other words, the space that is occupied by your religious mindset, and we've all got it, it's anything we believe that is a lie, it's anything that we're ignorant of, it's anything that we don't understand. But thank God, oh thank God that we have the Holy Spirit. Let's pause, say la for a moment, and thank God that we wouldn't even know him if he didn't first call us to himself. You know that, church. Remember the grace message. We cannot save ourselves. We wouldn't have even wanted to be saved. We didn't know we needed to be saved. The Father drew us to Jesus. That wasn't our own effort. It was at just the right time that Christ died for us, while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. And the Holy Spirit, He had to move on our hearts, or we wouldn't have even wanted Him. So this is not our own effort. We can't boast. We thank God. We cannot even read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You can read it, but like those Pharisees, they didn't even know that God was standing in their face. He called them sons of Satan, children of the devil, blind guides. He then goes on to warn us, even us, the Christians washed in the blood. He says in Hebrews and in Revelations that we need to be careful to ensure our election, to make sure we don't get spat out of His mouth. We need to overcome. We need to repent. We need to stay in the vine. Heck, we need to obey Him. We need to obey Him. We need to continue to obey Him. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit just gave me this song to sing, and I'm going to be a fool for Christ. It is, I don't really like rock and roll at all. Hate it. Hate it. Never went to a rock and roll concert in my life. Never went to a band in my life. May have been dragged once or twice. I love electronic music. Love it. Love the internet. Love all that stuff. Twitter, Facebook. No. I don't like Facebook much. But this song is, it's like a punk rock sort of song. So imagine Jack Black, long hair, School of Rock movie, or if you've heard of No Vacancy, the track called Fear, which I'm not, you know, promoting the fear or the, don't be religious. This song is the opening to the movie with Jack Black, School of Rock. And if you listen to it, you'll get a gist of the sort of 80s punk rock band. That I'm telling you this because the song, I've only got the lyrics, and the song has that punk rock. I want to know You, God. I want to know You, God. Your power within me, Your light all around me. I want to know You, God. I want to know You, God. Your power manifest, Your love it overwhelms. I want to know You, God. I want to know You, God. Your power within me, Your light all around me. Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Jesus, Lord of War. Come now, King Jesus. Come now, King Jesus. Have Your way with us as we lead cities to Your glory. I want to know You, God. I want to know You, God. Your power within me, Your light all around me. We want to know You, God. We want to know You, God. Your power manifest, Your love it overwhelms. Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Jesus, the Lord of War. Come now, King Jesus. Come now, King Jesus. Have Your way with us as we lead the city to Your glory. Wow. That'd be great with real music and a bottle of water so that I can actually sing it properly. So, now that you're listening to me and the Holy Spirit said that he would wake up your spirit man. And there's a warfare cry that is in that prophetic song. But the message that I have for you today, church, is that you are light. You are light, and the light casts out the darkness. And there's darkness all around you, and there's the shadow of death. But you are the light of the world. And the Bible says in Colossians that the light, it says in Colossians that we were transferred from darkness to light. We were violently shifted from a dominion of ignorance to a kingdom of light. And now you are light. And I think God just wants to simplify the message and the ministry of Christ. You and I are the church. You and I are the church of the living God. He's not the church of religious God in some old building, statues and whatnot. He is the living God. He is the living God. I said he's the living God. And his power manifests. And his light is all around you. You know, here's another religious challenge for you. Didn't Jesus say that the rivers of living water would flow out of your belly? You know, often we're waiting for God to move, but I promise you, he's waiting for you to move. He's already given you his Holy Spirit. You are already light. I'm telling you, if you've seen the movie Fantastic Four, that is what you look like. You look like the fire up guy. Flame up. When God sees you, when the devil sees you, when angels see you, and other people's spirits, they see you. Now, their minds are blinded, the Bible says, by the God of this age. But you are like a flame of fire. His ministers are flames of fire. His angels' wings. And the Holy Spirit, then the Jesus wants you to know that you are light. But it's your spirit man that's alive. It's your spirit man that is light. And you are alive and you are blinding the devil. He's afraid of you. You don't have to do anything. As you submit to God, which means as you exalt God, you resist the devil, which means you face the opposite way from the devil. And he is terrified and runs away. He's scared. Scaredy pants! Ha ha! That's right. He runs away. It says he flees because he is terrified of who you are. He's terrified of the church that's going to crush Satan under your feet. He's going to crush Satan under your feet. And so today and tomorrow, you are light. You are light at work. You are light at home. And God wants you to abide in him. He wants you to obey him. He wants you to be continually repenting and continually filled. And he just wants you to shine. And he's going to shine differently through you and differently through me. We're done with milk, guys. We are eating bone marrow. We are eating bones. We are eating eggshells. We are crushing meat with our teeth. We're eating organs. We're eating brains. We're eating all of the animal today. Okay, there's no more time for pussyfooting around. This is a love message. God disciplines those he loves, and he's giving you meat. Your love all around me, your power manifest, your truth it overcomes. And we make him come back, yeah? We call him back. It says in Revelations, let the bride say, come. Come now, King Jesus. Come now, King Jesus. Have your way with us as we lead.
Melbourne to your glory. I believe in you, church. And right now, by the fire of the altar of God, by the Spirit of God, and by his loving finger of deliverance, I break the chain off you today. I break the chains off you today that have been placed on you by, you know, your own mind, but also by those around you. And I apologize for, because I've led churches and I've probably taught the wrong thing in the past. Those who've demonstrated a religious way, a form of godliness, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for where we haven't equipped you. I'm sorry for where we haven't led you, where we've just wanted your bums on our seats, where we've just wanted our tithes and offerings so that we look good and our books sell. And I'm sorry for eating the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. You know what I'm saying? So we forgive you, and we forgive our pastors and our churches, and I ask forgiveness on their behalf. I ask you your forgiveness for where I haven't been Christ to you, where I haven't walked as Jesus walked in the greater works. Forgive me, but I am being conformed into his image. I'm being transformed into the image of Christ day by day, from glory to glory. Will you come with me? Will you walk with me on this Pentecost Sunday in Australia? We're not waiting for Pentecost. It's already come. That's another religious thing. There's nothing special going to happen tomorrow that you don't already have in your spirit that you can release now, okay? The harvest is plentiful. If something amazing comes tomorrow on Pentecost Sunday, you know, America's a day late, then that's great, but that came because of the agreement in the spirit. That's a principle of the kingdom, is agreement, where two or more are gathered. Maybe it comes through expectation. That's another principle. It's called faith. Faith makes things manifest. Okay, maybe it comes because of declaration, but the Holy Spirit's happy for you to have the power today, the day before Pentecost. He's happy. You get what I'm saying? We don't need to wait for some move of God. And often the prophets say something and then everybody just, you know, you've got it, church. You are the light of the world now. His power manifest, his love it overwhelms. Come now, King Jesus, come now. I don't know what to do with those lyrics. Maybe I'll post them on the Facebook group, Kingdom Dynamics Podcast, and maybe you can write some song to go with it. I really like the punk rock. It's in my spirit, that No Vacancy song from the opening of the movie House of Rock, which is a comedy, but let's not be religious here. Love you, church. You are light. You don't have to try to bear fruit. You don't have to try to be light. You are light. You just need to obey him. What is he saying to you today? Hey, do you know him? I know you know him, because you would not be tolerating me. Yeah. Oh, God is good. It's his joy, isn't it? Whew. Joy is supernatural. I'm telling you, some of you are waiting for some big breakthrough, but you are the breakthrough. You look at what you've come through. Look at the joy you have in your life, despite some of the setbacks. The Bible says that we enter the kingdom through much hardship. And the Bible said the righteous suffer much, but the Lord, he delivers us out of them all. And oh man, I love what Dr. Kevin Zadai says. He said that this life is our training for the 1,000-year rule of Christ. You know, maybe some of the things you're looking for You know, we have amazing promises, precious promises in Peter, to Peter. And they're yours now, yes, but, you know, Flip, there's more than just this life. You know, some of our reward is in heaven. I mean, Jesus says that. He said, you know, great will your reward be in heaven. You know, blessed are those, for they will inherit the earth, and blessed are those, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. But he said, great will your reward be in heaven, in this life. And don't forget, it's in this life, God, we get so preoccupied with this life. But he said, it's in this life and in the life to come. There's a life to come, guys. Do you want to get excited? Do you want our joy to overflow into the next life? Do you want to like sailboard into the next life? Do you want to like, you know, bungee jump into the next life? Regardless of how much victory you've had and how much you feel you've had, it's not just all about now. Yes, it's available now. It's yours now. All things are yours, things present and things to come. Oh man, I'm getting excited. Oh man, he's unlimited. He is unlimited. Come on, let's let go of the past. Let's let go of those cords that bind the feeble knees. Let's strengthen them. Let's strengthen them. Let's move forward. Father, we just repent of the past. We let go. We let go of the past. Broken people, broken pastors, broken churches, broken relationships, failed businesses, disappointments, whatever. Even marriages, whatever. We'll do what we can to obey you. But if you've closed the door, Lord, heck, we want to move on. We will abide in you, Jesus. We will walk in the light. Whew. Even now, I feel like there's a transfer. He's just washing you clean, putting light around you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just mark these people with your presence, Lord. Mark these people. Galatians chapter 5, let me just find it here, says, well, not there, it was further back. Your love around me, your power manifest, your power. Sorry, guys, I just have to look it up in my notes because it was a different version. And I'm on a loan phone, which is not working very much. Anyway, Galatians says that we've been crucified with Christ, and we actually need to put off the natural man. And this one translation, it's just not opening. This one translation says, I've got to find it because it's not the Bible version that I usually use. It was from Dan Moeller. Galatians. Thank you, Father. The devil flees, doesn't he? There's no shame in love. There's no shame in love. There's no shame in power. There's no shame in love. Wow. I am going to persist with this, guys, because this is demonic and it's never happened before. So, Father, I just want to thank you for 7 times the number of listeners to this episode than I've ever had before. And I'm claiming, God, that you would impact them more than you would have had this phone not frozen, in Jesus' name. Here it is. My only boast is in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, our Messiah. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm. And you guys know I'm always going on about your spirit man and how we need to live in the Spirit. And the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. I'll read it again. Galatians, my only boast is in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, our Messiah. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm, and the natural realm is dead to me. Isn't that amazing? Imagine the natural realm being dead to you. You know, you can living in such a space where God is everything. You know, he is a jealous God, and he is more than enough. And I think sometimes we want to want God because we want to please God. Or we want to want God so that, I don't know, he does something, or so that we feel accepted by him or have an encounter with him. And they're all good things, but sometimes God just wants us to want God for God. He just wants us to want him because he is enough. You know, we can think about losing our life or dying to ourselves as though we're, you know, exfoliating some excess that we don't need, you know, trimming the fat. But what if it's giving it all? You know, what it's not just not eating a meal or giving 10%. You know, it's not denying ourselves, is not just not looking at pornography and feeling good because you obeyed God. Or, you know, what if denying yourself is denying yourself? What if God's enough? What if nothing ever happens? I'm not saying not to believe. I'm not saying not to pray. I'm not saying his promises aren't true. I'm just saying, even if he doesn't answer your prayers, even if he never seems to turn up, even if you're where you are now for the rest of your life, God is enough. What if no one ever knew you? You know, what if you never get that promotion, that bike, that car, that house, that wife, that book, but you have God? Isn't he good? Isn't he? He wants you. That's what he wants. He's jealous. He loves you so much. And another rock and roller, Rick Pino, shared this story where he was worshipping God on an aeroplane. He'd been upgraded to business class and he was sitting next to all these fancy people and he didn't feel very fancy. And to make things worse or better, he was crying and snotting because he was having such an encounter with God. He was worshipping God. And he seemed in worship in the plane, in business class, sitting next to these business people. He seemed to leave the plane and to go up to heaven. And he was worshipping, and he was on his knees and crying and worshipping. And Jesus was a wreck. Jesus was crying and Jesus was snotting and Jesus was having an encounter of Rick Pino's love. It was like, we want to have an encounter with God's love. We want to fall down. We want to lie on the ground and shake under the power of God. But heck, he is so touched by your love. He is touched by our love. What if when you worship, he's crying, he's falling over, he's snotting on the ground. The Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit are moved. Oh man, moved. You know, what if, you know, the Bible says that he moves the heart of kings as water in his hands. What if you move God by your love, by your worship? You have the heartstrings of God. Because not only are you made in his image, not only are you loved and adopted, not only have you been given authority to be made children of God, but he is in love with you. I don't know a better word than besotted. He is besotted with you. Oh, and then you know what that's like? Besotted, that's like, a little girl with her father or with her pony or with her puppy, you know, or a teenage love, you know, where, you know, you see a guy and a girl and they're just like, you know, the universe just disappears because of the purity of the love. God is strongly infatuated with you. That's the definition of besotted. God is strongly infatuated with you, intoxicated and drunk with love. Far out. Hey, if you don't think that's in the Bible, you haven't read Song of Solomon's. Read it in the Passion Translation. My goodness, read it in the Amplified. Hey guys, congratulations, you've made it. Hey, you've made it. You've made it this far. You're alive. You're in the vine. Now just abide in him. Remain. Don't lose heart. Don't fall back. Just keep moving forward. Easy does it. One day at a time. We're going to finish this race. Just love on him. You are in him. He loves you. You are enough for him and he is enough for you. Thank you so much for listening. Praise be to God. Amen. Hey, this is a message for you if you are wanting to enter the kingdom of God. You know, God loves you. He's chosen you. He's made it absolutely clear that he accepts you no matter what you've done. He has open arms and he has pinned his arms to the cross with nails to prove that he has nothing but open arms to accept you into his family, into his kingdom. He knows that you've been deceived. Even if you've, you know, walked away from him in the past, he is accepting of you in open arms. If you're wanting to repent, if you're wanting to turn away from your own life. So just say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus Christ, you are my owner. I give my life to you. Lead me and guide me by your Holy Spirit. Fill me, wash me, make me clean. I want to live as Jesus lived. I want to walk as Jesus walked. Teach me how to understand and unlock your kingdom. I commit to seeking first your kingdom every day of my life. I receive the Holy Spirit. I will not sin. And if I do, forgive me and help me to stop sinning in Jesus' name. I renounce Satan. I invoke the Holy Spirit of power. Make me a follower of Jesus. Teach me to be a fisher of men. And I will see you on the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, go back and pray it out loud and let me know by emailing me at melbourneundergroundchurch.com. That's Melbourne, as in Melbourne, Australia, or Melbourne, Florida, undergroundchurch.com, all one word, melbourneundergroundchurch.com. Underground as in train station.